ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition and may God's love be with you.
Welcome to Nerd News Now, and we have liftoff.
Well, I'm sorry to say, there's not going to be any Muskie news of the week, as Muskie did nothing exciting all week.
Hey, before we
so
get
let's
Muskie,
go to the next thing. Fortnite is now bigger than PUBG.
Guys, come on. Come on. We got to introduce ourselves at least.
Okay, fine. Let's introduce ourselves. I'm Elliot Cabay.
I'm Anthony Richards.
And I'm John Roland. Welcome back to Nerd News Now.
Today's said that, John.
Where
is...
we have, apparently, we have no Muskie news.
We have no Muskie news.
Because Muskie didn't
happened.
Do anything interesting
nothing
this
happened.
Week. It's, nothing at all.
It's February 9th.
In fact,
he did
he
nothing
ever do
from the 3rd
to the
9th.
When does Muskie ever do anything interesting? I mean...
He did
fact.
Nothing. Ah, I just got you. You roasted. No.
Shut up, Elliot.
No.
Shut up.
What... Muskie did is so much that we're probably going to be doing Muskie News of the Week for like 20 minutes.
Oh,
now.
Yeah?
There's a lot of Muskie news to go over. There's a lot of stuff that happened. We got to talk about the Falcon Heavy, the car in space, the David Bowie that we just played, the hat salesman, the daily launch cadences, and the recovery times. Relatively a week or so they want. First off, Falcon Heavy, who watched the live stream?
I didn't watch the live stream, but I watched... After the fact.
Like well after the fact or like right after the fact?
It was like 6 days after the fact.
Yeah. John?
I just watched the only bit of it I watched today, so.
Really? I watched it about the day of. It just wasn't during the launch because I was in class, but I was getting live texts about it. Like,
that's so great.
Oh yeah, 7s. Like I was getting texts like they're counting down.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh yeah, the stage separated successfully. A lot of cool stuff going on with that. I'm excited.
I honestly like hate how much I was invested in this because my entire life was about to fall apart if this did not go 100% perfect. Okay?
I was like completely fine if it was like, oh yeah, no, it failed. The Falcon Heavy exploded. This
I
and
would,
that.
I would have cried.
I would have been upset definitely. But like.
It would have been the first time I cried in like 5 years.
I haven't cried the first time since I cried since I was like 8. I'm kidding. But anyway.
He cries every night.
I cry every night.
Cries myself to sleep.
I cry every time.
I have glass bones and paper skin. And every morning I break my arms and every afternoon I break my legs.
Shut up,
at
Patrick.
Night, I lie awake.
Shut up, Patrick.
Patrick,
shut up.
It wasn't Patrick.
That's the point.
It's a joke within a joke. Within a joke.
It's not a good joke, though.
Within a joke.
Yeah, neither was yours.
The inner jokes are not a good joke. None of them are good jokes.
It's jokeception. See, but what happens is when you layer all the jokes on top of each other, the joke factor becomes so strong.
It's not like a series. It's in parallel. You have to take the inverse and add them all together, so it's even smaller.
All right, fair enough. You're obviously taking... What is it? What circuits? Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, knew about series in parallel before, but
that's fair. But like, you know, the fact that you're referencing them now is like you're definitely in circuits.
Yeah.
And circuits is my favorite part of physics, honestly. It makes so much innate sense to me, and I don't even understand why.
Yep.
But it does.
Well, anyway, let's get on to this launch. So the Falcon Heavy, what was it? 3 boosters. Yeah, it's
yeah,
3 boosters.
You have to tell me. I don't know.
2 of which landed 100% successfully, and the third one got a little dinged up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing major. It's nothing they can't fix. I'm gonna pull up some stuff about the Falcon Heavy launch, and just so I have all my
info
correct.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch the 2 land though. No, I have so no great. Idea how.
They landed in sync.
They did. It was so great.
It's one thing that they landed at all. It's another thing that they landed at the same time. It's like, hello, did you just commit magic? I think you did.
Well, I mean, it's we've amazing. Already talked about this. Computers are magic, and there are probably computers inside of the actual rockets. So they're now magic.
And the world is Elon's egg, so...
Yeah, at this true. Point, people are just going to be throwing money at him. But, yeah, so... Okay, so by the way, the autonomous drone ship, I think I mentioned this before, but it's still called the Of Course I Love You. That's what the name of this ship is called.
That's funny.
Something went wrong. According to statements made by Elon Musk during a press conference held after the launch, the center core didn't have enough propellant to reignite all 9 of its Merlin engines during the final landing burn. As such, it crashed, landed, and was destroyed.
Oh, really?
No, it didn't.
It wasn't just a little dinged up.
It was destroyed.
Well, it was a little dinged up in a lot of places. Like, all the places.
Yeah. All of his rockets are actually designed to... They all have a self-destruct feature on them, so that if anything ever goes wrong, they can just push a button and blow it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then they don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Falcon Heavy is one of the world's largest operational rockets as of
now. Oh, yeah. It's, I think it's on the verge of, like...
It's nowhere near... I don't think it's near Saturn V.
No, no. It's on the verge of being a super class, though.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a heavy class on the verge of being a super heavy class.
I like how they gave them classes. It sounds like Battlestar Galactica or, Star Trek. I love it. It's just so good.
So great.
You can't love Star Trek.
Huh?
You can't love Star Trek.
Star Trek isn't bad.
Star Trek isn't... I mean, there's a lot of bad to get through in Star Trek, but Star Trek has good in it as well.
Do you guys want
to
hear this?
Yeah.
All right, so basically, NASA's been trying to do this SLS rocket, which is a comparable system to the Falcon Heavy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And its expected cost per launch is about $1 billion per flight.
Mm. Wait, who is this?
NASA.
Oh.
So $1 billion per flight.
Yeah.
Guess how much the Falcon Heavy?
$20.
It's literally, I'm gonna
literally
guess
lunch
three,
money.
$3?
$90 million per launch.
That's close.
I mean, what is that? That's still like $10 million difference.
Oh yeah.
No.
No.
And you mean between my guess and your answer?
That's $910 million difference.
Thank you, AXI Major.
That's like 10% of what NASA could do. What NASA has to pay.
I love how Muskie is just like, Muskie 9%. Isn't even here. Like, yeah, I see what you could do. I'm going to do it better. It's just all like, he starts and I'm going to do it the best a human can possibly do And then everyone else is like, they're out here trying, and Muskie is all like, get on
the
level.
Muskie's the type of person like the teacher's still handing out the test and he's already done with it. That's Muskie. But the biggest thing that I really want to talk about is the payload in it. I think the payload's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about the payload, right? Yeah. I know, I can understand why he did that, right? It was, okay, first off, it was his Tesla Sport Coupe, right? What is that, a $300,000 car?
Something like that, but Muskie just has money to burn,
I'm pretty sure it's a good bit less. I want to say it might be like 80 at most. Tesla cars aren't notoriously expensive.
I mean, I think his the Roadster, the one that they launched into space, is actually very expensive. Just because. I mean, yeah, they're not known for being like, no, $35,000 to $59,000.
Yeah, I was gonna say they are.
That's not bad.
They're normal consumer price cars. It's just you can't get them in certain places because you just won't be able to drive.
Yeah, because there's no charging stations. But anyway.
Missouri has charging stations.
And they do.
Which is surprising because it's Missouri.
Yeah, it is. I was extremely surprised when I was in Missouri.
You know, I saw a post yesterday of somebody standing in the the triple state border, Missouri, Oklahoma, and something else. I can't remember.
Like Arkansas or Kansas.
Something like that. And he's like, four if you count crippling depression. And one of the top rated comments was, you can't list Missouri twice.
Anyone listening to Missouri, take that. Don't like you, Missouri.
My family lives there.
Well, I didn't say I don't like your family. I said I don't like Missouri.
Okay.
I cannot.
I'm just joking. My family doesn't live there. NSA. If you're listening.
NSA, FBI. If you're listening.
If more like how many of you?
Yeah. But anyway, it was a Tesla Roadster. It's like a at max $60,000 car. And it had a little boy in it, a little test space suit.
Yeah. Space boy.
Let's clarify. It did not have a little boy in it.
It didn't have a little boy in it.
It was just a space suit.
It was a space suit. It's just, I call everything boy, all right? Boy.
This is one of those instances in which, like, I know that you do. This is one of those instances which you have to clarify.
But they don't know that I do that. Yeah. One of the biggest things that I died when I saw this, it was a picture. Elon Musk, like, photoshopped next to a basket of laundry. It's like, Elon Musk goes to retrieve his wallet from the wash until he realizes he left it in his car. And I'm like, yeah, that probably happened to him. Like, to be honest.
That's
but
funny.
Anyway.
And then the next best picture is a picture of the Tesla in space. Tesla playing David Bowie, 2018. And David Bowie played Tesla in some movie. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. But said Bowie playing Tesla, 2006. The roles have reversed, boys.
Yeah, it's world reversal. Get ready. Best timeline, because we sent a car into space with Don't Panic on it. And it was blasting. Is it still blasting David Bowie Space Oddity, or did it run out of battery?
Can it really blast it?
I mean, no.
It's space. It'll move the speaker probably too quickly, actually.
Too quickly?
Because there's no resistance, really.
Yeah, exactly. No pressure.
So the motor's just going to go crazy.
Mm. But they played it for a time. That's at least comforting.
I imagine, like, the bass is just boosting, like, back and forth, and then it just blows up.
David Bowie was in... Oh, yeah, no, it was called The Prestige, where he played Tesla.
Oh, The Prestige. That's a movie that I actually need to watch. The Prestige is supposed to be like a really good movie, or as far as I know.
Hugh Jackman, Christian Bale, Michael Caine.
It's The Prestige.
Scarlett Johansson, David Bowie.
It's what it is. It's like these two magicians, I think it is, and they're basically competing against each other. And the two magicians are the ones that are played by Christian Bale and
Hugh Jackman. Why is Tesla in it?
I don't actually know. I think he's probably responsible for one of their like magic project things. There's a lot of science mixed into it as well.
One of their magic project things.
Mm.
Quotable moments with Anthony Richards.
I only know so much about The Prestige, but it's a movie I want to see.
Now I'm going to watch it because it had David Bowie in it, and my goal is just watch every feature-length film with David Bowie in it. I've already seen Labyrinth about 8 dozen times.
Which is about 9 dozen too many.
Exactly.
No. It's not enough.
I've never actually watched the film, to be honest.
Labyrinth is actually really good.
Is it? It's
I mean, there's a moment where you know David Bowie's like all hopped up on drugs and he's shaking around a baby, but like that just adds the charm.
Okay.
It just adds the charm. It's such a good song too, and he sings all of it, so it's like I can't complain. But anyway, I want to quit getting off topic about this Musky stuff.
Oh yeah,
this is important. this is the biggest space news since. Another thing that Musky probably did.
Since the last thing that Musky did.
Which honestly, that was a while ago. There was improvements, but there was no like big major update.
Yeah.
To space travel via Musky.
True. Next, he's going to crack the tachyon barrier, so he's going to find out that they are not hypothetical particles. He's going to then use tachyons to supersede light speed travel.
Supersede. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what he's going to do. That's his next plan. It's not what I'm about to say.
No.
Okay. This is a lie.
Well, now you all know.
They plan on getting daily launch cadences. For those of you that know, that they're just going to launch a rocket every day. Like, that's the plan.
That's what they want to do.
And they also want to have booster recovery times, I think, within the week. Like, they can land a booster, repair it, and have it be launched again within a week.
Which is beyond impressive.
That's beyond impressive. Yeah. I mean, that's beyond an impractical goal, let's face it. But if he could do that, I actually have to wonder how safe rocket travel would be in that sense then.
Because,
I mean, I get the idea of, just reuse the boosters. That's a great idea. But, like, I would get sketched out if I'm, like, going to the moon and, this rocket booster was used back in the Falcon Heavy days, and I'm like 40. I'd get off the shuttle. I wouldn't stay on.
But I mean, like, that's much longer than some planes have been in.
What's the average life of a plane?
I've ridden on planes that are like a couple decades old.
Hang on. Let's think about for a second. You take a ship, and every couple of years you have to fix something on the ship. Mm-hmm. After enough time, you've replaced everything on that ship. Yeah. Is it really the same ship?
Yes, but the thing is that like people say that about everything, but it never.
Yeah, I don't think it
never holds true.
This is my thing. I feel like continuity is the very key factor between the difference of something being old and something being new. So if you take parts of the ship over time and then change and update them, the ship is still the same ship because continuity is what is keeping it together. If you take all of those pieces that you took away from the ship to replace and then use them to build a same model of that ship, that would be a completely new ship.
Yeah, you gotta the big problem with that is when you'll start replacing parts, and parts always fail at different times. That's the big thing with engineering. Parts just fail at different times. And you'll replace one part, and another part will fail, and you replace that one, and then da-da-da-da. And by the time you're replacing the last most sturdy part, you have to replace the first part again already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never a new ship.
It's never
100% a new ship until it comes off the factory line again.
But the way I'm seeing this is it's not like they're going to replace things one by one, but when one system fails in any
sense,
the
whole thing just gets replaced.
The whole system. And there's a good bit of systems, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
But unlike replacing it part by part, you'll also be able to just slowly upgrade the ship as new things come out instead of building a whole new rocket every time.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're going to have a fleet of rockets, which is a cool thing to say, a fleet of rockets.
Oh,
but,
yeah?
And that's how they're going to perform the daily launch cadences, but still have their rocket recovery be in a week, within a week. So they can have multiple launches, and maybe they'll have like a break period a week where they don't launch anything or something. I don't know. I don't know what they're planning on doing. But the one big thing that I want to ask you two.
No.
No?
The answer is no.
Okay.
Well, probably.
You go
no promises.
Ask.
Do you think that daily launch cadences could be a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I definitely think.
Like within 2 years.
What
SpaceX wants, I think it's within 3 or 2 years they want daily launch cadences.
My personal view is that they could definitely do it within 7. Without a doubt, I believe that must
be. Oh, yeah,
could
7
do
years.
They 7 years
five.
Is ample time.
They can do it.
Five
Soviet 5-year plan, they could do it.
Well, oh, yeah?
I mean, if they have plenty of launch pads, sure. Mm-hmm. But I feel like one of the biggest issues with trying to have daily launches will be that you have to completely clear the pad, prep it for the next rocket, and set up the rocket within less than 24 hours, like probably within like 15.
Yeah.
Maybe less, because you have to have time to do full system checks.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best thing that they could shoot for is with daily launch cadences, if they have... I mean, how many launch pads does the U.S. have? I think Florida has 2. Mm. Texas has 2.
Kazakhstan
not sure.
Has at least one.
Actually, I do know that one.
Kazakhstan is where the first USSR rocket was launched.
But I don't know if SpaceX can use that one. They can use Korea's.
Oh,
South Korea's. It depends on what they launch, though.
Yeah.
They launch something that's like, I don't know. It's
a
just,
U-2
it's,
bomber?
Yeah. U-2 bomber. No, they're not. You don't launch out of the rocket.
I'm imagining you take the bomber, you fly into space, then release the bomber.
That's the biggest equivalent of a VTOL.
Okay, so what I'm seeing is there's one in Cape Canaveral, one in Kennedy, and one in Vandenberg Air Force, which is somewhere on the West Coast, which is, I think, where the Falcon Heavy might have.
Mm-hmm. No, it was Cape
Falcon
Canaveral.
Was Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, it was Cape Canaveral. Is that Florida?
Yeah, Cape Canaveral is like right next to Kennedy.
Yeah.
Honestly, they're in the same place. They're just far enough apart to not interfere with each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, 3 launch sites, I think they could do it, because what you would do is you would launch on.
Ooh. Although the one in Cape Canaveral was inoperable for a little bit because in 2016, the Falcon 9 damaged it. But it must have been repaired because that's where it just launched.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, they must have repaired it. Cause I know that KoreaSat 5 that they launched, it was launched somewhere in East Asia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure where. I think Korea or Japan, But hey, if they're allowed to use like all of these different launch sites, right?
Mm-hmm.
All they really need to do is build one launch site to launch the most delicate of rockets.
One site to launch them all.
And then they can use everyone else's for the time being to launch the others. And I think within 3 years, I could imagine a daily launch cadence.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to be on Mars by 2020.
Yeah, so within 3 years, they would need to be.
Within 3 years, they need to be in a daily launch cadence.
So they want to be on Mars by 2020, that means that they will be there probably by 2023?
I think 2021.
Yeah?
I think mid-2021, you could see... Do they want to have people on Mars?
I don't actually know. I think they want to get something landed. Like they want fly a ship to Mars.
People on Mars at 2020.
I have no idea. I don't know if that's what they want. I know that they at least want to get something there. But
I think that's a Dutch company that wants people on Mars by 2020. I don't know how they're doing with it.
Probably not well.
The Mars
heard
One
about
mission.
It.
That's what it was.
Do you think Muskie will choose to be the first person to land on Mars?
No.
No, because if that goes catastrophically wrong, he's also the last person to land on Mars.
Yeah, he says he wants to land on Mars, preferably not on impact, though.
Oh, yeah, true,
no,
I remember
he
that.
Says he wants to die on Mars, preferably not on impact.
Uh-huh.
And, but yeah, so it's they could probably, I think what they're going to do for the Mars mission, right, if they want to send people, they need to get a daily launch cadence, and it's like, bing, bang, boom, they get four rockets in the air, all going to Mars at the exact same time, relatively landing close to each other.
And
I think that's
like
the only way that they'll
history.
Get to Mars properly.
They name them all after the Mayflower
No. Oh, you were gonna talk about Columbus, weren't you? I would personally. No, I can't say that because I wouldn't do that. But I would be very, very upset at Muskie if he named them the Pinta, the something, and the Santa Maria. I don't know the second one. It was the small. No, that was like the second largest one.
What about the Pinata, the Pinata. The Sangria, and the.
Santa Claus.
I'm trying to think of something for Mayflower.
It wasn't Mayflower. Mayflower was Pilgrims.
Oh, that's right. What I was talking about then.
But it's four rockets.
Yeah, well, I mean...
The Mayflower was one
three.
Boat.
No. The Mayflower was one of three.
No.
Wasn't it?
It was one boat.
And then two of them...
It was the Nina, so I got nothing for the Nina, honestly.
The Mayflower was one boat. Didn't you ever see Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving?
No.
No, you did not.
I did not.
It's
You're
one
right.
boat.
He's from Missouri. Of course he didn't.
Did they celebrate Thanksgiving in Missouri?
What does that mean? Why wouldn't they celebrate Thanksgiving in Missouri?
Are they part of the
I don't know.
Still?
Why would in Missouri you live in the middle of a swamp with your closest neighbor being 20 miles away? Mm. I have a lot of unanswered questions about Missouri.
That's a good question right there.
But anyway... David Bowie, hat salesman, Muskie. I don't really have anything else to say about the Muskie launch. Do you guys have anything?
No, I'm good.
Love to hear your input.
Muskie, when are you going to adopt
He did
me?
Good.
He did good.
He'll do better. He'll be the bestest there ever was.
He went fast.
He's going to catch them all.
He's going to catch them. Oh, wow.
I think he's doing a good job also setting the stage of the world's next space race. So I'm happy about that.
He's setting the stage when like people are still on the he's building the set while people are still on the freeway in two states over.
Yeah. They're sitting in traffic.
They're stuck in traffic. I don't even think NASA's gonna be a contender in the next space race.
Nah, especially not if they don't actually get a budget or a head.
Yeah, they're not. NASA should just be like, all right, we're just gonna give some money to SpaceX and call it a day. NASA did good. You guys landed on the moon.
Yeah,
congrats.
You guys had a good run, NASA.
I still love you, NASA, but you got some slack to pick up if you want to be relevant.
It's hard.
Otherwise, you're a glorified landlord at this point.
Yeah, you own a lot of space stations. That's why we still need you. But anyway, let's move on to the next topic: Fortnite.
I'll tell you what about Fortnite.
Anthony's really passionate about this topic, everyone, so if
and
you don't want to hear Anthony talk,
I will shut him up when I feel like it, so don't worry.
Yeah.
He won't rant.
Let the passion reign.
All right, for those of you who don't know, because there's probably a lot of you who don't know this, Fortnite is a Battle Royale style game. Think of Hunger Games.
Yeah, or like the Battle Royale movie. Oh, or slash book.
Oh, I didn't know that was a movie.
Yeah, they made a movie. It's a Japanese movie.
Okay, well, I mean, it's probably better than Hunger Games in that aspect.
Honestly, right? It probably is. But yeah. It was most certainly better. It's a weird movie. Like, there's weird stuff that happens in it. And there are parts of it where it's like, what is actually the point of like this character doing this?
But for our U.S. listeners,
Hunger
Games. And PUBG was the biggest one. For
up
a while.
Up until now,
where a cartoon style one is beating it out called Fortnite, it's way simpler.
It's a lot simpler. In my personal opinion, it's a lot more fun. It runs more smoothly.
It's free to play.
It has everything going for it.
It didn't encroach and have predatory techniques to get people to buy it before it came out. It's gotten success by word of mouth, whereas PUBG had some advertising and then.
Streamers.
It's being forced on streamers who are being paid to play it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad Fortnite's taking it over, but they're still both bad games.
Yeah, I never liked the Battle Royale style.
I remember not really tried it too much. I do want to at some point.
Do you know where the Battle Royale style game first originated? Where it was real popular on?
I do know this actually. I'm trying to remember the name of it though. It was a mod in a game, and I can't remember what game it was a mod in. I can't remember.
We're thinking of different things.
Yeah. Are you thinking of MOBAs?
I'm thinking of Arma Mod. It's an Arma Mod.
No, it wasn't. Maybe. It might have been, but I remember my first take on it was like before Minecraft was even released. I was playing Battle Royales on Minecraft for the longest time, and those were fun.
Yeah, DayZ. DayZ was the original.
DayZ isn't a Battle Royale.
Isn't it?
No, it's an open world.
It's kind of the Battle Royale system, but set in survival.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
It's not good.
The games of this branch, in my opinion, are entirely dumb.
So, yeah, but I feel like DayZ was the original inspiration for the Battle Royale game.
I guess that. I could get that.
And then PlayerUnknown basically took it, turned it into his...
Just PvP.
Yeah. And
basically what DayZ was already,
because
DayZ's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But PUBG is out of favor. I'm glad, because I was tired of people telling me to get PUBG, because one, I don't like Battle Royale games. I tried playing Fortnite. I didn't like Fortnite.
Yeah.
I don't think those type of games enthrall me. I'm a story guy. I like a lot of story in it.
I agree, and this is why I hate the fact that single player story driven narrative games are the way of the past.
I want a co-op narrative game.
Co-op narrative games are great too.
I mean, you can only do that with like puzzle games. You can't do that with like an RPG unless it's an MMO, which kills me. But anyway,
do you know about Warframe? I'm gonna try Warframe out at some point.
Warframe's a decent game.
Warframe's so complicated. I played it when it was really.
I played
Babby Warframe. So if I get back into Warframe, I need to delete my account.
No, here's the thing. The Warframe recently had a huge update.
I know.
And the update has doubled their player count.
The thing is, I played Warframe right when it came out on Steam.
Wow.
I played Babby Warframe, where you couldn't do 300% of the stuff that you can do now.
Yeah.
So I get into it, and I just get confused because I'm like, I can't just run around and stab people.
From the bottom.
I gotta delete my account because I do have a lot of stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to play it.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up and try and learn how to play it.
And I'm generally a high level, which is surprising. But anyway, Fortnite's going the way. John, you had a theory about Battle Royale games.
Yeah, they're kind of probably going to go the way of games like League, which have a period of super popularity.
And then
their fan base just kind of dwindles because they're fun for a while. But the problem is they don't really change. And they can bring new things to the table every now and then, sure.
Didn't that happen to MMOs?
MMOs is a different story. That's something else.
You're right. MMOs are a different story, but yes, it did.
That definitely happened on like RuneScape.
If you want, I can get into that in a minute. But so I think what's going to happen is it's going to be popular until something else just picks up a little bit of steam, because League of Legends was super popular, and then Overwatch came out, which slowly just took away players.
And now
from
no
fan
one talks
base.
About Overwatch either.
And now it's PUBG.
Not Battle Royale. Now it's actually Fortnite.
Yeah, there will be people who still play these games. They're hype sure, games. But
yeah, they're hype games. That's a really great term.
And like CS:GO, the only thing that has CS:GO staying power is the fact that it's competitive.
Yeah.
And the game plays like garbage, and I don't know why people still like it.
I have no idea either. It's really hard to play.
The notions that, oh, it's skill-based, sure, but it's clunky because of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to play a clunky game. I want to be able to aim down sights with my gun. I want to be able to play with a controller because I'm a filthy casual. They don't let you play with a controller, and I don't know why.
Like, it's kind of like someone who's really good at CS:GO is, like, really good at driving a T-34. There's no brake on a T-34, so it's all just finessing. No, there's no gas at the T-34. It's just always on gas.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just finessing with the brake to try and get it to do what you want. You're really good with a T-34, but put you in, like, a different FPS, you're garbage. So, I mean, like, it doesn't really have that kind of power to be a casual game. I mean, it's not a casual game.
No, it's not.
It's no Arma, but it's no casual game.
Yeah, Battlefield and Call of Duty, you can swap between them. I mean, going from Call of Duty's more or less hit scan weapons to Battlefield's actual bullet travel time with vertical acceleration.
With really intricate stuff.
It takes time to get used to.
Yeah, but you can get used to it.
But you can swap. You can't play anything else and then go to CS:GO because it feels archaic because it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's intentionally archaic, and I just don't get why people enjoy it.
I want to say this, though. There's one game that has probably the highest learning curve out of any game ever made.
Warframe?
No. Dwarf Fortress, and I really want to play Dwarf Fortress, and I don't even know how to get started.
Never heard of it. You
gotta get someone who knows how to play Dwarf Fortress.
You gotta get someone to teach you how to play Dwarf Fortress. You cannot teach yourself Dwarf Fortress. Uh-huh. I think that's how it works. It's like D&D. It's really hard to teach yourself how to do D&D.
I tried to before I even came to RMU. When I was on so Cyberpunk is what got me into the idea of D&D because they were making a Cyberpunk video game, and I got very interested in the lore of Cyberpunk for whatever reason. I don't know what actually triggered it.
I always ask this, but like that's that D&D where you can like hack the planet. Yeah. Yeah.
And like you basically fry your brain if you do that. But
hack the planet. I love that. I want to play a Cyberpunk 2077.
At some point, I want to play Cyberpunk 2020. That's what it is. Cyberpunk 2020. 77 is the video game. 2020 is the original pen and paper game. And at some point, I do want to play 2020.
We'll get a session running 2020.
Yeah, at some point. But I tried to like sit down and read the rule book for like 2020 after I was gotten like really invested in the lore and everything like that. And I'm like, I don't understand how this game works. It sounds like it's just a book, like a story, but it says you can interact, but I'm not sure how.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Fortnite is now bigger than PUBG.
And another video game news, Monster Hunter World is now Capcom's fastest selling game.
I want Monster Hunter World so hard.
Guys, it's the Dark Souls of the new generation.
Oh yeah, I know.
But to be fair, if someone tried to draw this parallel...
Did you just say that unironically?
I said it ironically, but to be fair, like the basic combat mechanic is the same.
So combat-wise, it's literally Dark Souls.
It,
the way the combat works in Monster Hunter World is everything that you do impacts your combat, right? So you need to know what to do and when to do it in order to actually take down an enemy.
So it's just timing.
It's timing and planning.
Which is Dark Souls.
Yes, exactly.
It's a Dark Souls style game, but I can't speak for the difficulty.
Yeah. So I also cannot speak for the difficulty, but it is a Dark Souls style game
in
terms of
combat. It's not that hard, but it's hard because it's timing and planning based.
Yeah.
It's a little more it's forgiving.
The way it is like you have to actually master weapons, and that's one of the things I really love about it. Because like you'll start...
You as a player or you as a character?
You as a player have to master weapons, and they have like 14 different weapons that you can play with.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I like that.
I watched Donkey's video, pure entertainment.
Yeah. Not Donkey. Donkey's beautiful.
I don't know who Donkey is.
You don't know who Donkey is?
Video game Donkey?
No.
You're gonna watch
video game channels.
You're gonna get learned later.
Yeah, later.
And not video game related news, China now has armed some of their police with facial recognition glasses.
I don't like it. Like just saying it, I don't like it.
Yeah. How they work, who knows? They haven't announced it.
One step closer towards Terminator.
Yeah. Do they actually work? who knows? They haven't actually said, but yeah, they exist.
They exist. They're a thing. I mean, the facial recognition software has been a thing forever.
Yeah, but it's in the... Well, I mean, I'm sure they are connected to a network that's dispersed through the city, but the fact that you can wear it on your face semi-discreetly, that's it. That's news.
Mm-hmm. Pretty neat. Yeah, I kind of like that, but... I mean, I kind of don't like that, but... You know, I guess it's a thing that's bound to happen sometime soon.
And... to movie news.
We're just breezing through this news because we only have about 40 minutes to get through everything that we wanted to talk about.
You mean 20.
20 minutes.
We're going to the movies now?
We're doing Venom.
Venom trailer?
Venom trailer came out.
Okay.
Really good, actually. I liked how not much they showed, which is exactly what you told me
that's
earlier.
That's what you want with
trailers. With a teaser trailer especially. I don't feel like a teaser trailer should show you everything.
I mean, it should give you
just enough that you want to see more.
You know, Death Stranding or that new Hideo, same guy who did Metal Gear.
Hideo Kojima.
With the Walking Dead guy, what's his name?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The one with the crossbow. Negan? Huh? Who was the one with the crossbow from Walking Dead?
To be fair, I don't watch that show because it's also garbage.
It is garbage. So.
But the teaser trailer was like something going down someone's esophagus and then you're seeing a baby. That was it. That was the whole teaser trailer. It made sense in that sense.
I'm thinking the name is coming to me.
Hideo Kojima definitely would do that, so I'm not surprised. He made PT, so...
Yeah, he did.
He
and
made
it's going to be
training.
Do you not know what the PT demo was?
I'm not.
Penumbra?
No, PT was...
Silent Hill.
Yeah, supposed to be Silent Hill. Turned into Resident Evil 7, I'm pretty
sure. Oh, never mind. I know what
you're talking about. They like kind of saved PT a little bit with Resident... Oh, that was going to be Resident Evil 6.
No, it wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, 6 was out by the time PT came out, I'm pretty sure. Because 6 was a flaming pile of garbage and everyone hated it.
6 was awful. I bought 6. No, I didn't buy 6. I bought 5.
5 was decent.
5 was
the first like 3/4 of 5 was good, and then they're like, "Okay, we have to somehow wrap up this weird story we made," and it just turned into an action game.
Yeah, real quick.
But they kept the clunky tank controls, so I kind of forgave it.
Yeah, not clunky tank controls. Resident Evil 4 got rid of the clunky tank controls.
No, 4 still. They're still clunky tank controls.
They're still clunky, but they're not tank controls.
No, they are. Technically, they are. You can move left and right kind of independently.
Yeah, yeah.
But by definition, they're still tank controls.
Yeah, I don't like those controls.
I think they work because the game's whole thing is survival.
Uh-huh.
But realistically, you wouldn't move like that.
No.
But it's not the point.
Anyway. But yeah, and also a Deadpool trailer came out.
Mm-hmm.
That, it looks good. Have you guys seen it, Meet Cable?
I have seen it.
I have not yet, actually.
I think it's going to be a good movie.
Don't know if it's going to be better than the first.
I know it's not going to be better than the first.
If I still laugh
Fox
at it, it's
doing
good
it.
Enough.
Mm-hmm. When have you ever known a Fox sequel to be good?
That's fair. But in all honesty, when have you known a Fox movie to be good?
I mean...
Deadpool was
pretty
good.
One. I mean, like, I have
Fox made Logan.
Oh, Fox made Logan? I take it back. Logan is a masterpiece.
Well, the thing is, though, here's another Fox movie.
They also made Ice Age Boys.
Oh, speaking of Ice Age, I have predicted...
Wait, what?
Speaking of Ice Age, I never talked about this on the stream.
No, you did. You have talked
about
it.
I talked about the Ice Age prediction?
The linear graph?
Yeah, like
yeah,
you
mentioned it.
It's really close to
it
linear.
It was like very early in the history of this show.
Yeah, it's still on my desktop. So I'm just waiting for the next... Ice Age to come out so I can be proven
right. Go ahead and mention it for any of our new listeners.
No, I'm good. I'd rather not because then they'll steal my trade secrets.
Okay.
But, you know, on the top...
Go and listen to our early episodes,
but
guys.
On top of ratings, right?
Yeah. On top of ratings, you have some... You have some tomatoes to smash.
Yeah, I do.
What is a tomato?
Me and Anthony's got some beef with Rotten Tomatoes. I've had beef with Rotten Tomatoes for like a while now.
I have also.
You know,
I have
never eaten a rotten tomato. I prefer my beef to be in fresh tomato. But
true.
You know, to each their own.
This is mostly spurred by like a lot of stuff that I read about Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to what the listeners might believe, where I'm talking about Black Panther, I'm not. I'm starting to realize how much Rotten Tomatoes is an unreliable source for movie reviews. I mean, granted, the best way to see if you like a movie is watch it.
Until the movie is old.
Until the movie's old. Until the movie is like 3+ years old, Rotten Tomatoes is garbage. You do not use Rotten Tomatoes.
You know what does work, though? Google. Google's movie reviews are perfectly fine.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
If you just search the movie and might search reviews, I'm not sure. Google Amazon's will give you a number, and it's fine.
Amazon's reviews are really good.
So here's my thing with Rotten Tomatoes. At the time being, I feel like Rotten Tomatoes is very influential into box office numbers.
I think it's way too influential.
Yes, this is my thing. So, personally, I feel like if it is before the opening weekend of a movie, okay, actually removing bad reviews is completely and ethically fine in my mind, because then that actually gives movies a chance for people to go and see them and then decide themselves if they actually think it is good, instead of looking at Rotten Tomatoes and then choosing not to go and even give the movie a chance in theaters because
The best way to tell if you like a movie is to go see it.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that helps avoid problems with how the new Star Wars movie, I guarantee there are I haven't read any critical reviews because I don't care.
I don't read the critics
but reviews. I guarantee there's been critics who are like, well, the movie was pretty and all, but it wasn't Star Wars, and they tried to be funny at times. It's like,
and granted, that was the gripe. That was the gripe that I had with the new Star Wars movie. Yeah.
But Star Wars movies have been basically solidified as children's movies. I'm doing air quotes here. Since Star Wars 6, they've been solidified as children's movies. Yeah, when they brought in the, what are they called? The little Ewoks.
Ewoks. Yeah, yeah. It was all right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, the prequels weren't actually that children-like. There was a lot of dark themes in the
prequels. Also weren't
good.
Like, they're Star Wars.
Other than the midichlorians, the story of the prequels could have been pretty good.
Yeah,
I think the story. Other than the midichlorians.
Yeah, but back to the reviews.
Back to the reviews.
The problem is if you let bad reviews through. I mean, maybe they should be scanned by someone whose job it is to actually just read them and make sure that they're not stupid and just nitpicky.
I mean, if they're professional reviewers,
professional,
and they get and they got paid to watch the movie then review it, and it's a bad review because they think it's a bad movie, I think they should keep that. But if it's just like Joe Schmo from Kokomo trying to ruin this movie, I don't think they should keep it,
because some people are influenced by the dumbest of things, and you don't want to ruin a movie before it comes out, because had they done that, people might have just not seen the new Star Wars because some people had stupid gripes with it.
I think there's certain movies that the critics do not influence, and there's this level of hype where you have to surpass for the critics not to be able to touch your movie. Star Wars will do that no problem. Mm-hmm. I think Black Panther did it, but then the critics just rode the hype train as well.
Yeah.
Justice League somehow,
yeah.
Justice League didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they got to that level of hype where the critics wouldn't touch it. Mm-hmm. But then the critics gave it 100%.
It had flaws.
Justice League
100%.
Like the longest time, the user reviews was 20, but Justice League was 80-90%. It wasn't balanced. I mean, I only trust the user reviews really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still haven't seen the new Justice League. I still intend to.
There's some reviews that I don't even bother reading. Right. Like, if you go on there and you're looking for a movie that is not in theaters right now, if you're going to look for reviews for a movie that is not in theaters, it better be an obscure movie. If you go online and you Google Ex Machina to see the reviews for Ex Machina, that's fine. But if you're going on there to review...
I actually still haven't seen Ex Machina, and I really want to.
Perfect.
I really want to watch it.
It's like all-time top five movies for me. But anyway,
okay.
It's a good... I don't think, unless the movie is obscure, you should see reviews for it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a popular movie, don't watch reviews for it. Just watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's popular for all the wrong reasons. Emoji movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that its existence was a meme, so that doesn't count.
Yeah. Have you seen Jax Films basically saying anything about the Emoji movie? It's the most hilarious thing ever.
But anyway.
Because they actually thought he was a fan of the movie.
Yeah, and they invited him to the premiere. But anyway... Video game remasters is a topic that has been coming up a lot lately. I think we've
Ride the nostalgia train.
I think we've touched on it. I'm completely fine. Like, I'm gonna take the unpopular opinion here. I'm totally fine with them.
Well, I am fine with remasters that are actually remasters. I'm not a fan of remasters that are all like, yeah, here's this thing you loved as a kid. We're remaking it.
Remakes are bad. Remasters are good.
Yeah.
Same everything, just a new coat of paint, maybe a little new physics engine. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Here.
And even if they touch the physics engine, that can also be iffy sometimes.
Yeah, that's what happened to Crash Bandicoot.
Exactly.
Here's exactly why I want to talk about that, actually.
Yeah.
It's what you said about as long as they don't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you haven't played the Final Fantasy series at all.
Never.
They just ported 12 to PC finally.
Mm-hmm. I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, it was on PS4 in July or something, and it just made its way to PC this past week or something. And it's not actually the version of the game that a lot of us grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
It is an updated version, like significantly updated from what we remember. For those of you who don't know, Final Fantasy XII came out originally with two versions. There's the English version that we got, and Japan got a version called the Zodiac Edition,
mm-hmm.
Which is closer to what ended up being released, but wasn't. What got released in July was a game where originally all of the characters were more or less clones of themselves with slightly different stats.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do any character and do anything at any point in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Some characters are better than others, but it didn't matter. But in the new edition, they gave you jobs, and you cannot reassign jobs. You pick a path early in the game to go down for leveling.
Wait, in the original or in this one?
In the new version.
Okay.
And you're stuck there. And later on, you can tack on a second, but they basically redid the core of the game's leveling system
mm-hmm.
for the sake of making the game, how do I want to say this?
Appeal to the Japanese audience?
No, the game was already hit in Japan.
Okay, but, yeah. I mean,
mm-hmm. For the sake of making the game more, to give the game more variety. So what do you guys think of when they make big changes to the game? Because
it's not a remaster then.
But
it's
it is.
Update.
It is 100% the same game, except the way the mechanics that influence everything else is built.
So what? You mean to tell me if I basically take Spyro and slap on the mechanics of Crash Bandicoot, but it has Spyro skin on it, then it's a Spyro game? It's a Spyro remaster?
No.
Yeah, that's not
like this is where Final Fantasy's flaw is that you can't explain it to someone who hasn't played it very well. But essentially it boils down to be mostly the same system, but they put limiters on it
mm-hmm.
to keep you from. Well, see, I didn't either, but as I'm playing through it, I'm also realizing it paces the game better because.
Before,
like, you could level up into things you couldn't use until another, like, 50 hours into the game. In your first 5 hours of the game. So you'd have a bunch of useless skills that you just can't use, and you didn't have the ones you should have had.
So it's a remaster in such a way that it fixed the flaws of the old game.
It's an absolute graphical remaster, no doubt. The game is undoubtedly prettier.
My thing, though.
And they took the main game, and they fixed the weird balancing issues. Is it still a remaster?
You could call that a patch.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, if you patch a game, it's still the same game. We know this.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess it is a remaster.
It's, yeah. Okay. You know what? Honestly, because of the game that me and Anthony are working on, it's an edition of D&D. It mm-hmm. is. Yeah. And
I'm literally working on it as we're doing this podcast.
And every edition we do, it's just a remaster.
Uh-huh.
It's still the same Steam and Steel. So I think that makes a lot of sense. That like if you fix the issues with a game and you release it later, like in a new coat of paint, it's still the same game.
And the original game was still great, but
yeah.
After playing this new edition, I'm only like, I don't know, maybe 8 hours in at most out of like the 60 the main game requires. I'm already enjoying it so much more.
Yeah.
Also, they added a fast forward button.
That's
nice.
Because the biggest gripe that people have with that game, reasonably so, is that the world is super massive, which is, it's cool because it's also the first time there was a super massive world that like was worth exploring. But because of that, there's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
But now you can fast forward the walking and it's hard to control because everything is 8 times as fast as normal.
Yeah.
So you turn 8 times faster than you expect and you go in circles by accident.
Also,
they didn't break anything by adding the fast forward feature too. So good for them. Good they for managed them. To not break things by speeding
that's,
it up.
That's still Square Enix?
Yeah.
Good job, Square Enix. I want to skip this one because I really want to talk about this one.
What is it again?
YouTube Go. It's a data-friendly version of YouTube. Oh, congratulations.
Oh, no, don't really care about that.
Samsung, though, however, Samsung news. We rarely get to talk about Samsung. Two things with Samsung. They announced their S9, which is neat.
Yeah.
But this is the thing that I want to talk about. Samsung is now making chips that are exclusively used for crypto. Crypto mining.
Which is...
Oh, that's dope.
The chips are called ASICs, for those of you who don't know, which are applied...
It's like applied something math.
So is this going to increase the rate of crypto mining? Which
no,
in turn...
it's going to decrease the price of graphics cards.
Oh.
Because there will no longer, I have it written here, no longer will sweaty neckbeards buy our precious graphic cards for their crypto mining. Because graphic cards are really good at crypto.
Mm-hmm.
But these are for crypto.
Mm-hmm.
So people will buy these instead of the graphics cards. And then finally better. You can afford it 1080.
Yeah, they're better and cheaper.
They're better and cheaper. And finally, normal people would be able to afford a 1080 for their gaming setup, not for their crypto machine.
Unless you're like me and just happen to catch one on a sale right before like prices got really bad.
Yeah, now they're bad. Like, good luck even. What is
S-M-Y-H,
it?
SMH, John. SMH.
Hey, I paid like $430, $420 for a graphics card. The MSRP's for like $450.
I'm gonna get like a 1050, if anything. I have the same graphics card. Like the next thing I upgrade is going to be the graphics card. But
yeah, but I'm happy to see that because it means also that maybe ASICs will become more prevalent because
for crypto or just in general.
In general, because there's so many things that could use an ASIC chip, but
isn't AI really good for it?
No.
It's multiple simple calculations.
But I mean, an AI, you could use an AI to just do, like, you could make one for that, couldn't you?
Neural networks, maybe.
I guess you could.
Keep in mind that I'm not the person who knows.
If you pair that with something else with a neural network, you could do data analytics with the ASIC chip. Which you then could actually...
No, I think the issue with doing ASICs for that's are not... They still depend too much on being able to freely switch what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because if one thing happens, it might just do a quick calculation of a number. If another thing happens, it might do like practically a whole simulation in itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the thing I love about Samsung though is like Korea has always talked about banning crypto, and Samsung's a Korea-based company.
Samsung does what it wants.
Samsung really doesn't care.
Well, I mean,
it's a business.
They have money to do what they want.
Yeah, but it's just funny. I like it.
Guys, I googled Samsung, and the first suggestion was Samsung ASIC miner. We're being watched.
Yeah, we are. They know they're on to us. Also here, I want to do this for anyone that remembered when I did this when it was really high. I'm going to read off the value of Bitcoin and Ethereum right now. Live value. Bitcoin is 8,500 a Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Ethereum is 861.
Wait, okay, repeat.
Bitcoin is 8,500.
That's an 11,000 drop from December.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Bitcoin and Ethereum is 861. Litecoin's 157.
Litecoin's still not above 175. I'm surprised.
Did it ever go above 175? It hit like 300.
It was at like 250 like 3 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, it was at 250. It hit 300 though. It hit 339 at a max.
I've kind of been considering getting into that, but then I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have money.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that anytime soon again. Mm-hmm. It was fun. But I'm not going to do it anymore.
I mean, I have a friend who actually does it. just because he can. He has money to toss around, and he's been making consistent money with it.
That's cool.
So you have to invest a lot of time to do it, but...
Yeah, you don't really need a lot of time. You just have to... Like, basically, what you need throughout your day is you need a whole 2 hours dedicated to looking at your phone. That isn't memes.
Is for memes? The next 2 hours of your day is for memes?
Well, the next 10 hours of your day is for memes.
Okay.
Because... You're making all your money with crypto. What else are you going to do?
Sure.
Just look at memes. Look at crypto memes. But anyway, I think that's all the time we got for today.
We can make more time. I can call my boy Father Time up and be like, yo, we need 30 more minutes.
No, you misunderstand, right? If this isn't all the time we have for today, then that's a bad thing because that's all we had to talk about for today.
Oh, I mean...
Yeah. Can I just say this is one of the first days we've ever actually made an outline that's just long enough?
As of recent.
We've never made one that's just long enough.
Yeah, we
have. Probably on the first show, and that was it.
The one time we had just enough, we actually extended it on purpose because we were struggling. This is the first time we've actually done it.
Ended perfectly, and we did get rid of something, though, but that was because I just didn't want to talk about it.
But that was old.
That's YouTube.
I copied that from last week.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I hope you've had fun listening, Nerdles. Catch us back for next Friday. It's really good. I honestly don't hate it as much as I thought I would. Thanks. Catch us back here next Friday, where we will talk about the
something
of the universe.
Where SpaceX is going to bring back space chimps, but this time they're gorillas and they don't know how to fly a spaceship.
Yeah. But they'll drive in a space car. Fun fact, because the Tesla is now in space, you now have a non-zero chance of getting into a car collision in space.
It is non-zero now, yeah.
True.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people complaining, jokingly, obviously, about how their car insurance is going to go up because of the chance of a space collision now.
No, it will. Trust me.
It'll find a way.
They'll find a way to do that.
But anyway. Not yet.
Anyway, everyone, I'm going to say goodbye for the third time, and if everyone else would like to sign off, I'm Elliot Cabay.
I'm Anthony Richards.
And I'm John Roland. We will catch you next week.
Bye-bye. Tim.